Hello, Teemo fans. We're back, and tonight we're discussing Season 6, Episode 11, Said the Spider to the Fly. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. We're back in action. We're so excited to be here for the last season of Teen Wolf.
I just got real happy and then real and then sad. Real fast.
But we're back, and that's the important part. And hey, yes. I heard there might be a spinoff after this, so don't get too sad, Ryan.
Whee! Spinoff!
I'm Cinematic Escape on all the mediums. You can follow me, Kristen Snyder. Please do. And I have the lovely Elena Jordan. Where can we follow you, Elena?
Hey, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And Ryan Malady.
And I'm Ryan Malady. Hello, everybody. Glad to be back. You can follow me at Ryan Malady everywhere. I'm also sitting right here at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV with the best superfans in the world chatting it up in the live chat. All of our awesome fans are back. I've been chatting with them a little bit and love to see you guys there. So make sure when you see our videos, give us a thumbs up if you like what you see. Subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And download on the iTunes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's do all that. Loud. Just, you know, you guys know what to do. You've been doing this for years. We love you. We're glad to be back and enjoying this episode. Bring us in, Kristen.
Well, I hope you guys caught Ryan and I in a top 10 special moments episode right before the show. And if you didn't, you can go to MTV.com and check it out.
It was so much fun to film, and glad we got to talk about some of the best moments
in Teen Wolf. So if you missed it, check it out, because Ryan and I were there. And we love talking Teen Wolf, which we're going to do right now. So
Sunday fun day, baby.
Yeah, love it. Scott is assistant coach on the lacrosse team. And he never got hope from coach, so
just
coach told him not to give
criticism.
It.
Don't you just love the dynamic between these two? I mean, it's not a normal coach, right? Coach is doesn't like, oh, how am I supposed to know who he is? They're wearing the numbers on the jersey, coach. Like, it's funny, it's fun. I love this coach. He's kind of a comic relief, you know, character, and just to see their wild antics. You know, you can't have the coach be more responsible than Scott.
Right.
Scott's the alpha.
So as we know, like, the beginning of Teen Wolf started with a lot of lacrosse, you know, the very beginning. So I like that they really also started the beginning of the end with lacrosse. I thought that was
kind
really
of bringing
cool.
It full circle.
Absolutely. I hope we see that more and more. But Liam, who's supposed to be captain of the team, he just got broke up by Hayden, broke up with him. I feel like we didn't really get a good reason there of why. I guess she moved, right? Is
she
that what you got
to
from
take
it?
Care of her sister, is what they said.
Okay.
Peyton is gone to go take care of her sister, which is how we find out that she's, I guess, not going to be in the season. Which...
I know. I mean, I loved their romance, so that's kind of a huge bummer.
But isn't that always the case in Teen Wolf? It's like, go back to Allison. As soon as you, like, are in love and happy, someone just gets real stabby.
Yep, that happened. So there's a...
So at least she's gone and not murdered violently, so we'll take that, I guess.
Good point. We'll miss you, but Liam needs to get back on the field and back in action, because... there's a werewolf in town. What did you guys think of this scene with the wolf sort of coming onto the field and Scott and Liam having to chase after it?
I think it was, whatever it is obviously injured, right? Mm-hmm. And didn't really pose a threat, but it wanted to be seen. It wanted to be followed. So it was luring for either for friend or for foe.
Timmy was trapped in the well.
Timmy's trapped in the well.
Well, this is what was weird to me. So every time this happened with the rats in this episode and the werewolves, we see those flies come out of the wolf as if the flies were giving the werewolf life. So, and this episode's called Said the Spider to the Fly, so it's almost like someone's controlling these flies that are giving these dead animals life. I don't know. Did you guys get that at all?
I don't know. I kind of took it more as, like, the flies were just symbolic of death itself, and that it was kind of an imminent threat, almost. Like, this was kind of a warning of, like, death is coming, all of these dead wolves. This is, while it's actually there, it's more of, like, an apparition that is also
But
really
didn't it
there.
Seem like the wolf was already dead? Because when we saw it on the field, it was, like, bleeding. Ryan, what's the chat saying about this? Did they have any, like...
Well, the chat's definitely, you know... talking about Hayden a little bit. They wrote off Hayden because she got a movie role from Ivan Soto. Thank you, Ivan. Yeah, the chat's on top of everything. Let's see what we got. We got a nice little character description from Nicholas Kelly about Nolan. But I don't think we've gotten to Nolan yet.
We haven't gotten to Nolan yet. We're just kind of basically wondering if everybody else thinks that this wolf was alive and was kind of, or if he was just reanimated by these flies and then basically just said, hey, what up? Welcome to my little forest of dead things.
Yeah, it seems like these animals are being controlled, if not by flies, but obviously by someone, the fact that they're coming in here.
They look like spiders, right?
Are the flies. We see the spider webs, maybe, too. But there's just lots of things that
busted out of the wolf. Mm-hmm. And
maybe those are spiders, too.
We heard Scott talk about a parasitic infection, you know, because he's all about his biology. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. Whatever these things are, they are able to go in, attach themselves to a host, rot the host from the inside, and spread.
That's kind of how I saw it.
Rock me Amadeus. I like it.
Yeah.
Rock me Amadeus. Amadeus.
Now that's going to be in your head all day. You're welcome.
Can we get a song here, please, Anthony? So then we see Scott trying to, like, help Liam control his anger and just be at peace, reminding him of the three things that can't long be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. And it really feels like, although Liam wants to take on his role of sort of replacing Scott and being the new true alpha, it seems like he's having a lot of trouble. Like, he's having heartbreak.
He's got the teen angst.
Yeah.
He's wolfing out for no reason.
He's angry. Real angry.
I feel like, maybe not, but I feel like that's almost like, almost an allude, how everything is kind of a reference to things that you experience in high school anyway. Yeah. I almost felt like that's kind of like the, hey, you know, when puberty kind of goes awry and there's a breeze and it's bad for the guys. I felt like that's what it was like, hey, hide your shame, sir.
It wasn't like that. It was.
No, but I think Elena's right. Like, it's nice to see high school students go through high school pains of love.
Of biology that they can't control.
Exactly. And, you know, I think we all really liked Hayden and Liam together. I mean, they were sort of the new Scott and Allison, so I'm curious of how Teen Wolf felt about that. We have to ask Jeff and some of the cast members when they come in. I think Cody St. New is going to join us next week, and I think Kylan Rambo, who plays Mason, is going to join us the following week. And I think Leo might be coming on as well.
Nice. We got the best fandom ever.
Yes.
We have the best fan
in
the biz.
Dylan Sprayberry. Okay, so let's talk about the guidance counselor. What did you guys think? I think her name's Monroe. Is that what you guys got from it?
I just kept calling her guidance counselor.
Yeah, okay. My first impression was that she was kind of a, can I say, a biatch?
Because, really?
Yeah, well, at first, because, you know, she goes at first to Liam, she's like, listen, you want to talk about your girlfriend, do it during guidance hours, all right? We're here
the
for...
Hours on the wall.
Yeah, we're here for your class schedule. And then she turns around and says to Mason, you know, you can tell me anything. We can talk about whatever. It doesn't matter,
like,
if it's school
all the time,
or if it's like other things,
but
like wolves and stuff. So I was like, obviously there's something up with this woman. Is she good? Is she bad? Which side is she on? We kind of find out which side she's on by the end. Kinda, but not really, I guess. Not really, because you think the bad guy is bad, and he turns out to be...
Something's up with Mason, though, so maybe that's why she's, you know, giving him the little extra attention, because the standoff with Liam, when the Hellhound's like, not you, no, it's not you, I think that means, like, okay, that's why she's willing to be like, Mason, let's talk about anything. Liam, shut up about your problems, don't take Latin.
Yeah. let's move it along, Liam.
There's
a line out there. I got to talk to Corey. And that was a fun scene, though, right?
Yeah. Well,
I know you can
invisible
feel invisible
stuff.
Sometimes.
Not me.
Not me. Never. You mean literally, you could see me, right? It was good. And going through those motions, it was kind of cool to see the kids back in school. I mean, I know it's still season 6, but it's 6B, and we haven't seen them in a while. So it's nice to reintroduce people. We got to be introduced to Nolan, who... is the new guy, the kid.
What did the chat say about Nolan?
Well, we got Nicholas Kelly saying, Nolan was the kid that Scott told to get back from the wolf, right, on the on the lacrosse field. A little further back, he said, Nolan is a new character that will start the hunter rebellion on the pack. He is physically and mentally frail and unstable, and the boy has social anxiety, depression, insomnia, paranoia.
So, like, copy and paste this.
Yeah, I don't know where you're getting your facts, but I like it. Let's roll with it.
All right.
Nicholas Kelly was actually Nolan's psychiatrist.
Yeah.
he has completely broken patient yeah. Dr. Confidentiality.
But... Well, all the library books are gone that are about mythology, and I think that we saw Monroe, or the guidance counselor, she has most of them. It looks like she had a pile of books. So, and it's weird because she kind of appears human, but she's so weird in her voice, and I don't know if there's something supernatural about her.
I feel like, just like how Malia is like, there's nothing supernatural about these wolves, then immediately Scott after, there's definitely something supernatural about these wolves. I feel like that's the guidance counselor. Like, no, she's a normal guidance counselor. She's definitely not a normal guidance counselor.
And via Nick Kelly, Ryan, her name is Tamara Monroe. Tamara?
Okay,
Monroe.
So good.
Tamara Monroe. She's a hunter. Okay. And moral of the episode, never trust your teachers in Beacon Hills or they will literally kill you.
Well, we find out she has Arjun's hunter bullets, so we'll find out more about that. But I want to know...
He has that fleur-de-lis, just, like, custom on every single one of your bullets. Like, I'm like...
Yeah.
You don't?
That's some swag,
you know,
man.
Who killed this guy? It was me!
Yeah, it's also like, is that really the best idea if you're trying to be, like, covert Stealthy? And secretive? Like, Probably just be not. Like, I did it! Here's the weapon.
It was me!
Signed, Argent.
Anthony, we have some people asking... Anthony's our engineer, guys. Thank you, Anthony, for keeping this whole thing going. Anthony, we had some people asking if they can call in. Is that available this evening? I guess you can get back to us if it is.
Yeah, if they can, throw up a phone number for us.
I was about to say, I'll make that happen. Just give
cool.
me a second.
Because we'd love to hear from you guys.
Okay. Great. All right, guys, your dream's coming true here on the AfterBuzz TV After Show. Let's talk about Scott. It seems like Lydia, we know Malia was going to Paris, France, but then it also seemed like Lydia was coming to pick up Scott, and I'm not sure exactly where they were going. Was that
They were
going
to go somewhere because Styles in his voicemail just said, you know, get where you're going, just promise that you're going to leave Beacon Hills, promise me that you're not going to stay there. So everybody had the mentality of getting out. The only thing about Malia, she still has another year. Right. So I'm like, why is she going to France?
Going on vacation.
During the middle of the school year? Why is the guidance counselor talking to her?
Good point. Didn't she, finish, during summer school or something? No,
she had summer school, but, she was a year behind them. So,
okay.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyway, they're not leaving. They can't leave. And they convinced Malia to stay as well, which I was happy about. And then we get this scene of... these people sort of around, I don't know how they did this with the Phoenix. It was Dr. Ferris or something like that. And we have, not the Phoenix, a Hellhound, which we know Casey Diedrich, he was actually on our show, those of you who watched Eye Candy.
That's what I was just typing that. They were like, did you recognize the guy from Eye Candy? Dude. And I was like, yeah, we totally did.
Casey Diedrich. He's great. Before. So do you guys think he's definitely dead? I mean, that's skipping ahead, but it looks
skipping
like...
ahead? Oh! Yes, he's dead. He was shot in the face.
Yeah.
Is he, though? Is he?
I mean, I feel like when they're all looking at him and they're like, I thought you couldn't kill a hellhound, and he's laying there dead, shot in the face, I feel like the bullet would have bounced off if it wasn't some sort of magical guidance counselor bullet.
So, here's the question.
She's killing you with knowledge.
He's coming in. Casey Diedrich's hellhound character, which, right. Did he have a name?
I didn't see that he had a name.
Unnamed hellhound.
He's going through causing all kinds of havoc, saying, it must be stopped. Nothing else matters. You let it out. You know, it seems like this guy is overall trying to stop something bad or worse from happening. He's not doing it in the best way. You see him killing cops and, you know, causing innocent people to suffer. So he is kind of a bad guy.
He is called a hellhound. He's not called a heaven cuddle and let's all be happy hound.
A heaven pup. He is a hellhound. Heaven Pop?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I like it.
Oh, Heaven Pop. We're happy to have you. Anyway, the number is now up. Could we get the number, Anthony, so we can tell the fans that they can call in if you could write it up there for
us? Yeah, it's actually on the lower third right now. The number is 424-256-1729. For the host, 424-256-1729.
Thanks, Anthony. There you guys go. If you'd like to call in and comment, we'd love to hear what you guys thought of the episode.
We got Erica Walker coming in and saying, no, he is not dead. He woke up in the preview. And we also have Ivan Soto confirming that his name is Halwin. Halwin?
Yes, that is it. Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Halwin.
So Halwin is not dead. And he's coming back to raise...
Halwin.
Right, and he said, you didn't let it out. It was supposed to ride with the hunt forever. Okay, so that's when we saw Lydia walking
through.
You
did let it out.
Yeah, but we saw Lydia, like, walking through the electric spider webs. I don't know where she was in, like, that trance.
Electric spider web, new band name, I'm calling it.
that's what we're calling it. So, was she, electric like, spider. Seeing that ahead of time? What was going on there? Like, was she hearing that whenever he was then talking to Liam later on?
Well, these spiders, which later on, they mentioned a couple other things. They mentioned scarabs. Mm-hmm. Which are, you know...
Ancient Egyptian
beetles. The beetles of my people. They also mentioned the rat king.
The rats of my people.
Ah, yes. We're just an abundant... We've got a long family tree.
Yeah.
So these spiders, though, if they are parasitic in nature, right, and they're inhabiting the body of an actual wolf, maybe it is something that's more of an allusion or metaphor for, looks like someone's might be calling in, for what this thing actually is or represents. Mm-hmm. Some people early on said it represents this new bad, it represents fear in general. Whatever they are, they're supernatural. So you got to believe that if you
There's
have supernatural spiders, you're going to have supernatural spider webs. And so by touching them, maybe you can, you know, be linked with their existence somehow, whatever it may be.
Front, I feel like Corey is like, couldn't we have gotten these spiders before you guys hooked me up to this big switchboard last season?
Yeah,
like,
fine.
If the spiders could have just sent a Charlotte's Web message, that would have been much more convenient.
That would have been nice.
So who do you guys think that Halwin is talking about? He said, something you let out, it must be stopped. And at one point he thought it was Liam, and then he was like, no, it's not. Is the thing he let out Monroe, the guidance counselor,
they let out? Because Mason comes in to hit him, and he stops and kind of gives that look. And because the counselor was spending so much time with Mason, tell me everything, blah, 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 anything you want to talk about.
That's weird, though, because was Mason in the train station?
I feel like it came out and somehow globbed onto him, because he's the only non-supernatural one of the bunch.
So you're thinking there's something in him now that's, like, going to be...
itsy-bitsy spider.
Halwin, I think, is looking for... We tuned into him listening to heartbeats, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be someone with either an irregular heartbeat or someone who doesn't have a heartbeat at all. Maybe someone who's, you know, dead. Or
I think you're right.
The spiders that are inhabiting the body of somebody, right?
No, I think you're right the first time. You said he's looking for either a heartbeat or maybe someone who's dead, which means a lack of a heartbeat. And all these things that the flies have been in, the wolves, the rats, we see them later piled up as if they were dead the whole time. And we saw the werewolf pretty much dead on the field earlier. His neck was all like gutted. It looked like he probably didn't have a heartbeat. So I think you're exactly right. I think he's listening for things that don't have a heartbeat. Nice job, Rye.
Finding the dead things walking around.
Thank you very much. So
that was the crowd going wild.
That was the crowd going wild. But the thing is about the wolf.
That was him breathing his intelligence into the room.
Did it not sound like that?
The crowds
go wild.
I got it.
I know that we have sound effects for a crowd, but I just had to make
this
my
one's
own.
Better.
So we're looking for somebody who's dead.
Yeah.
And being inhabited by a bunch of parasitic spiders. Great. Looking forward to it. You know, who else we got? We have the Rat King. we have a new Hellhound. This first episode was so great. It's rich with all these new characters. Can't wait for it to see out.
When Halwin said, it won't stay hidden, it must be stopped. He said that to Liam. And we know the three things that he uses for his mantra, you know, the sun, the moon.
The truth.
Right. And so it's like he was sort of going off of that and saying, this won't stay hidden. I felt like he was making some sort of connection to talk
to him.
That's
going to be the truth, yeah. The truth will eventually come out.
Right.
We'll know who's dead.
What three things cannot... long be hidden?
The sun, the moon, and your half-dead guidance counselor.
Mm.
Do you think it's the guidance counselor?
I think a lot of times the line is blurred between mm-hmm. good and evil, between right and wrong. Here you have a hellhound who is trying to stop something that's obviously evil and bad, but he's doing the wrong things to get there, right? So I think we might, I mean, I don't know, it's too soon to tell, I think, but I think that this Miss Monroe is doing the right things for the wrong reasons. I don't think that she's, I mean, if this hellhound came to protect people and she's trying to kill it, then you got to believe the enemy of my enemy, you know what I mean? She's, I don't think she's on the good side of things.
I like what Lydia said. They were like, what did you hear? And she said, the sound of people who have never lifted a hand against another. And they're like, what were they doing? And she said, killing each other. So that was Casey Diedrich's character, the hellhound Halwyn, and Monroe. So she's saying that they are both people who have never lifted a hand.
They're good people who are now put in this situation that they think that they're supposed to be fighting each other.
Right.
When they could be working on the same side. It's just lack of communication.
I mean, isn't that just life?
All the time.
Can't we all just get along?
Just communicate, guys.
Just say what you mean what you say and tell us what's dead.
I completely agree.
Hey, yo. You trying to kill that bad, evil dude?
I'm actually not even here. I'm a bunch of rats and flies inside of a deceased corpse that's being reanimated.
Thank you for telling me. That clears a lot up. See?
Would you like to come with me to go fight some evil?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much.
There you go. Done and done.
Easy.
One
communication.
Have a chit-chat before you go fight in the woods.
It works.
The woods aren't just for fighting. They could be for chit-chatting.
What is the... talking about chit-chat, what does the chat have to say about all this? Are they have any guesses to who the villain might be this season? And did we see him this episode or did we not? And who the heck is Mr. Dr. Ferris?
Well, here we go.
Answer our questions.
It's all on you, Chad.
Our good friend CC Freak coming in. Don't believe the trailer, guys. The villain is yet to be revealed. Mm. They do this every season. And
that's true. You would think by this point we would have figured that out. But
big shout out to the writers on this episode. I love the little they're peppering it with things that the audience has been thinking and feeling for so many seasons. For example, when all the rats are running around the school, some girl goes, why does this keep happening to our school?
That was my favorite line of the whole episode.
Because finally someone says it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's going on in our school all the time?
My response is, why are you still enrolled here? There are so many schools.
There's
some parents are bad parents.
To a different district that isn't on a hellmouth.
You can't, it's districts, you know, we did the same thing. I was in Broomfield, I wanted to go to one school, went to another.
There were rats.
How murdery was the school that you had to go to? That's the difference.
Frogs and beavers, actually, with my school, yeah.
Lots of frogs, got it. How'd you guys feel about Stiles' little note to Scott saying, be gentle with the Jeep?
Yeah, that's a nice...
I feel like now the Jeep sort of represents Stiles in the show. Right.
Well, considering last season, that's all we got of Stiles was like, we remember something about this Jeep. He's like, really, guys? Really? Like, come on.
That was Sydney. That was Sydney.
Thanks, Sydney.
The girl who yelled in the class. Sorry. I didn't want to be just some random girl, but she was Sydney. Yes, I thought it was a nice note. It was a nice callback to... And almost a sad reminder that he's not with us anymore.
I know. But yeah. We saw in, the future trailers that he comes back in the end. And it looks like Derek comes back.
And we got to see him, too. Yeah, we got to see him the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. Going to the FBI, just in his tie, doing his awesome Stiles thing.
Yeah.
Then spit take, which... Anytime that there's a spit take, I think that's amazing. And the fact that it was Stiles spit taking in his FBI class, seeing Derek running around. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do it, but there's so much equipment.
There's so much, spit directly into your laptop, and then just the whole show shuts down.
Mm, this
Most
is the
epic
show.
Spit take ever.
I know, right?
So who do you guys think Dr. Ferris is? He was sort of the guy who, let the hellhound out. He was covered in volcanic ash.
I don't know. I mean, they always introduce somebody to basically be like, hi, I'm the secondary character that makes this happen.
Right.
So I don't know if we're going to see too much from him. I mean, I feel like we will in some way because he has to know what's going on. And
yeah,
this hellhound
sort of.
It seemed almost like a mad scientist museum curator. mm-hmm. where he has all these supernatural things on display for study and for,
very,
you know.
Very Dread Doctor-esque.
I mean, because he had it all set up with, like, oh, what's happening? I'm going to turn on this, you know, super cold, you know, what do you call that? Really cold stuff. My brain just farted all over the place.
I know what you mean.
No, yeah. The
nitrogen?
Yeah.
Liquid nitrogen.
We did another show right before
there
this.
There you go.
Yeah, so he's all set
style.
Up. Yeah.
Mighty Ducks, they poured it on there and punched through.
This guy has resources. This guy has knowledge. I mean, he's going to make another appearance. I think he'll... he'll have more of a role to play for sure. He might even have other characters on display.
Anytime that they like have a big explosion and it throws somebody against a wall, but they don't die, it's like they're coming back to say something.
Just stands up like it's no big deal.
Also, I like what you just said, Ryan, is maybe he has like other creatures there, because I think what would be cool, since this is the last 10 episodes of Teen Wolf so far that we know, because they haven't announced the spinoff yet. It would be nice if they sort of brought on a bunch of different creatures. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that.
Just throw in everything but the kitchen sink. You know what?
Throw in the kitchen sink!
Yeah!
The kitchen sink was actually dead and reanimated by
the fly. Okay, one more thing I want to talk about before predictions. How about Melissa McCall and Scott giving his mommy a weapon to use when he was going to leave? I thought that was so cute.
And also, how has he not figured out that she has all of these awesome medicines by now? Yeah, because she saved everybody last season using them. So it's like, Scott, pay attention to your mom.
But it's like the herbs is probably not going to kill someone. So I think she should kind of stick with that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's taser. She's like, I got my little arsenal here of my supernatural herbs. And Scott's like, where did this come from? Yeah. Like, were you not looking around last season, sir, when your mama was saving everybody?
Yeah. And also she was like, I know, I'll call Liam. He's like, do you have Liam's number? It was cute.
Somebody bring that woman dinner.
Oh my god.
Seriously.
Instead of a dead rat.
She was
so excited.
That smells like fear. That's, I think, is also a big thing, is that, you know, when Malia's holding up the rat, she said, you know, it smells like fear. Mm. And that, you know, there's these things that are kind of feeding off of fear.
I feel like
it's almost like the physical embodiment of fear itself coming to take over. Because, you know, they say there's nothing to fear but fear itself. What happens when fear embodies dead things and comes after you?
Exactly. Nothing to fear but fear itself. So yeah, go ahead and be afraid of fear, because that's...
Because it's coming to kill you.
Because it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Fear is scary.
You should confront your fears. And now let's go into predictions.
Unless it's a wolf coming to murder you.
Unless your fear is confronting fears. I'm scared of confronting fears.
Ryan, what do you think's going to happen?
A fear loop.
A fear loop's happening this season?
A fear loop. I'm calling it
this prediction.
I'm calling it a fear loop. Okay. I think that I like how you articulated the fear incarnate.
Yes.
I think that things will start manifesting themselves and cause a lot of people to not know whose side who's on. And we're going to find that someone, maybe even Nolan, is dead.
Oh.
I don't know.
So Nolan is no live?
Yes. Mm. I think
I'll
that's what
us.
We're
yeah.
going
for. A stretch.
Yeah, you got it.
And Elena, what do you think's happening? What's going on this season?
Well, I think since we saw Derek, which also fan favorite, everybody's been begging for Derek to come back.
Well,
so I'm
they
very
got
glad
their
that they
wish.
Listened to us. Yeah. But he's back as a mass murderer, apparently. I think that we'll have Styles kind of working from North Carolina remotely. Mm-hmm. Getting all the intel, feeding it to Scott and to all of them, and they'll kind of figure out what's going on, and then hopefully team up. I'm assuming Parrish is going to be all right, even though he had this Hellhound versus Hellhound smackdown.
Yeah, it was hard to see him go down. Like, why was he so easily overpowered?
Well, because I don't think he's ever fought a Hellhound before. He's point. Like, hey, I'm always badass, and he's like, poof.
I love having our chat here. You guys are so knowledgeable and helpful. To the show. We have Ivan Soto saying Dr. Ferris is Scott's dad.
What?
Which, I mean... And then Nicholas Kelly saying that Ryan Ferris was the man who worked with Deaton and Morrell in Eichenhaus in 5B. I mean, seriously, if Howland was encased in aerosol liquid nitrogen, the sense of the founding of this establishment. Basically saying, here's a guy... Possibly Scott's dad.
I don't think it's Scott's dad. Maybe he just looked like him. I don't think so.
Hmm.
His dad's been in charge of the CIA, FBI, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He doesn't even live there.
We have a couple predictions.
Okay.
What
do they got?
Billie Jean Girl 24 saying, I predict Styles is going to hunt down Derek and ask him what he did. Don't we all just want to predict that?
Yeah, we're going with that. That's happening. Good job, guys. I think we already talked about, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like the flies are just inhabiting dead bodies. I think you guys are right about the heartbeat. He's trying to listen for a heartbeat that's not there. And I really hope, really, really hope that Casey Diedrich's character, the new Hellhound, Halloween, is not dead. I hope he comes back.
Ivan, I totally just misinterpreted what you wrote. It's Tyler Posey's dad.
Tyler Posey's actual dad.
Yeah. His actual
plays
dad.
The yeah. character.
Okay.
Not Scott's dad. I was just kind of assuming that's the what actor, you meant, but I was wrong.
Okay.
That's a good
good to know.
Fun fact.
Well, I mean, Tyler is...
Everyone's like, Tyler Posey's dead. Tyler Posey's dead. How's Scott dead?
All caps. You're wrong, Ryan.
Well, Tyler Posey's the executive, one of the executive producers now. So you can put your mom or your dad or your cousin in the show if you're the executive producer. So hello,
Scott
Posey's dad.
And I feel like if you are the Teen Wolf, that is the title character of Teen Wolf, by the last season, I feel like you can be like, my dad's in this. And they're like, all right.
Tyler Posey's dad. He's here now.
Everyone's saying in the chat that things are going to be brought back to season one. I won't say it right here, right now, for those listening. Next time, join the chat. These guys have great predictions, great things to say. And you're right. You're absolutely right. If they don't bring it back to season one somehow, it wouldn't be a proper series finale now, would it?
Right.
I think they'll tie it back. I think they'll have a bunch of little illusions.
I think I'm going to go back and watch season one just to have it fresh in the mind, you know, just to find all those illusions that will be coming. Because the writers and producers are so talented.
There's so many Easter eggs that they put in there for us.
There's so many good ones.
Mm. Well, guys, I think that wraps it up for us tonight. I'm sorry about the time. We were a little late. Ryan and I host Game of Thrones right before this. If you're not watching that, you definitely should tune into that as well. But we'll probably be starting pretty much every week around 8:15, 8:20, and then we'll go till 9. Now you know the number. We'll be repeating it every week. So please join us on Sundays around 8:15.
All right.
You can follow me, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, at Cinematic Escape. And I hope you do. Elena, where can we follow you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can also check out RelativityPodcast.com.
Ooh.
Yeah, the sci-fi series that I did with Lee Shackelford, who wrote for Star Trek Next Generation,
all that good stuff
we talked about last season. You guys were so awesome. We actually got a Parsec Award and got picked up for a second season.
Woo!
No way. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah,
definitely, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
That Elena Jordan Girl. I'm That Ryan Malady Guy. You can follow me at Ryan Malady everywhere. And hop on MTV.com and check out the top 10 Teen Wolf moments. Really cool special. And glad to be back. The pack is back.
The pack is back. We're here to stay. Hope you are,
pack
too.
Pack is back!
We'll see you next week, guys. Stay tuned for a great season and a lot of special guests. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.